right. Good morning. I'm Brandy. I am a recovered compulsive overeater for today.
Hi, Brandy.
I'm just going to pass around my cell phone. Don't touch the screen. It has my before picture on it. I wasn't prepared enough to print it, and so, but I think it's good for people to know where we come from. So to qualify, I've been in OA 22 years. I came into program when I was 16 years old, and I've lived a lot of life in between that time. I've gained and lost hundreds of pounds through program, and most recently I've lost about 90 pounds and maintained it for about a good 4 years. So when I was asked to share on steps 6, 7, and 8, I thought, those are my life-changing steps. Those are the steps where I got honest. I had to look at actually who I was. And sometimes I always didn't like that person that I was seeing through my fifth step. But until I was able to look at my step 5 and be honest about who I actually was and the character I had become through this disease, I wasn't ever able in my program to go on. I worked this program for the first, I would say, maybe 18 years, step 1 to 5. I never went on. I always was like, well, I have character defects, but I'm okay. Like, I can manage. And some, I would say, well, I've given them to God, but what I didn't know is that there's a lot of action every day in giving it to God. It's not something where I say, okay, God, remove my defects of character, and then I sit and wait for them to be removed. That's not how it works. I had to, one, step six is we're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Well, I had to really know what those defects of character were at first. And so, like I said before, I didn't, in any other step five that I had done, I didn't really I knew my patterns, but it wasn't clear to me what my part in things were and what character defects played a part in things. So I did a step five last October, and it was like no step five I had ever done in program. And my sponsor said to me, leave the part where you're identifying your part in things and your character defects, leave it blank. I want to do it with you. And I was like, oh, well, that's kind of weird. Like, I've never done it this way. But I was willing at that point to go to any lengths because I was so sick, and I was so sick and tired of being who I was. And I knew things needed to get better, or my life was going to continue to be unmanageable, and I was going to lose a lot of things in my life, and I didn't want to. So at that point, when we were going over this stuff, I'm like, oh, okay, so here's my, you know, core character defects. And, you know, I was very selfish. And so she made me look at this list. And so selfish, you know, not seeing other people's point of views or problems or needs. I lived like that. I wanted things my way. I wanted to orchestrate things. I wanted special treatment from people. I thought, well, I'm, you know, I had big ego. I had, you know, I thought that I was very important, and in everybody's life, I should have been very important. And I, you know, I always wanted to be the best, and I acted out of jealousy, and, you know, and so those are all things where I was just very selfish. My other core character defects was frightened. I lived a lot in fear. Fear of people's opinions, fear of rejection, abandonment, fear of loneliness, you know, fear of not being able to control or change situations. Fear of expressing ideas and feelings. You know, I thought that I was smart at times, but I was afraid to say how I felt. If you did something to me, I was afraid to say, you know what, that hurt my feelings. And can we talk about that? Because I didn't want to rip the Band-Aid off because I didn't want any problems. My other core character defect was dishonesty. I used to think I was pretty honest until I really started getting down to the root of things where I was like, oh, wait, you know what? When I do something for you and then tell you a year later when I need something and you aren't there for me and I have a resentment because you aren't there for me, that's really dishonest because I shouldn't be doing things because I expect that later in the future somebody is going to help me. I should be doing them because I just want to and because I want to be helpful. And I lived a lot of my life in being dishonest. I couldn't tell the whole truth. It was always, because I always felt so less than everyone else, I always felt like I had to embellish stories and make them better than what they were because Brandy wasn't good enough as Brandy was. So, you know, and I blamed a lot of other people for my problems, you know, my mom, my dad. And, you know, at the end of the day, a lot of my problems were of my own making. And so, again, that's dishonest. I was very self-seeking. I manipulated others to get what I wanted, even though maybe sometimes I didn't even realize I was doing it. It was very unconscious at times. And I would, you know, put other people down to build myself up. And, you know, having that superior attitude, like I'm better than. And, you know, early in recovery, when I first came in program, like my ego was so big. I thought I was beautiful. I thought I, like, you know, was the most attractive person in a way. And especially when I lost the weight, my fucking ego went crazy. And, you know, that's not recovery. Recovery is about thinking you're beautiful, but just wholeheartedly just feeling like a beautiful person. You know, it's not a physical thing. So through my trials and tribulations of working the steps, I've kind of, you know, I've come to this place of acceptance where, you know, my other core character defect was inconsiderate. I was very inconsiderate of other people. I didn't stop to think, you know, did that guy cut me off because he's in a rush? Maybe, you know, maybe there's an emergency in his family that he needs to get to. Did I stop and think that maybe somebody, you know, gave me a dirty look because that's just who they are, they're shy. You know, I never put myself in other people's shoes to maybe, I always took everything so personally, like everything was about me. And really, through going through this step, I see that, you know what, not everything is about me. Barely anything's about me. And so just being, you know, very, so now instead of being so inconsiderate, I really try and look where people are coming from and, you know, see that there's a lot of people that are spiritually sick. And I was very sick. And so for me to judge them for being sick is dishonest. And so at the end of the day, all of my core thinking, which showed me in step five, all of my core thinking was about me and how I'm going to, you know, orchestrate my life and live in these character defects. And it, for me, I had to get really clear on that part. I couldn't move on to step six and seven until I was very clear on what my character defects were doing to my life. And I had to be at a place where I was willing to change. I didn't want to live like that anymore. After seeing what it does to relationships, to my finances, to, you know, to everything I touched, seeing how these character defects influenced my life, it was enough at that point. And so for me, the willingness was pretty easy. I, you know, after seeing it, I accepted that, you know what, I need to change my personality. In the big book, it says that we go through a personality change. We can no longer be who we were. And today, I am no longer that person who lives in those character defects. Do they still come up? Absolutely. But I have a way to deal with them, which I'll tell you about after. So in step seven, you know, I'm humbly asking him to remove our shortcomings. So the key word here is humbly for me. I needed to pocket my pride, my ego, my self-importance, my boldness, and my arrogance. There was no place for those anymore in my life. And so if I were to go to God humbly, then that would mean that I don't bring those things with me. And at that point, that's what I did is, you know, I prayed and I did the seventh step prayer. And, you know, I used to think when I spent 18 years in program thinking the seven step prayer wasn't important, that it didn't matter. You know, all that mattered was a food plan. All that mattered to me was a food plan. And since, you know, my newfound way of working the steps, I've maintained almost 2 years of abstinence. I could never get more than a week or two of abstinence before. And it's because I'm no longer living in these character defects that make me want to eat. And when I do start to live in them, I'm very quickly, if I have a food thought, I'm very quickly getting rid of them because I'm willing. So step seven, when we look at the seventh step prayer, so I'm sure some of you are familiar with it, but I'm just going to go over it. So, God, I am now willing that you should have all of me. Before, I used to say parts of me. You know, you can have my work, parts of it. You can't have my children's life because I need to be in control. I need to be their parent. And, you know, and then you can't have my relationships either because I need to be in control of those. So I would kind of pick and choose what God would and could do in my life. And so, you know, the all of me is there for a reason. God needs to have everything. That includes my kids' lives. And sometimes that's hard as a parent. I feel like I need to be their mother and I need to show them and I need to control them and we need to, you know, and it's constant chaos. But you know what? They have a higher power. And as long as I guide them to, you know, good orderly direction and show them, you know, what right from wrong, then I need to trust that I'm teaching them, you know, what God's will, like, helping them discover God and his will for them. Because you know what? Our life goes so much better when I'm not trying to control them. If I say to God, you know what? They have a problem. God, you're going to have to help us here, you know? And so I'll tell you a situation that happened to me yesterday after I go through the seven-step prayer. So, you know, good and bad. My fifth step showed me that, you know what? There is a lot of bad within me. And I know a lot of people get sensitive on words and blah, blah, blah. But at the end of the day, the big book says that we be hard on ourselves. And I needed to get honest and I needed to see. And the only way I could do that was to really thoroughly be hard on myself. And at this point in my recovery, I was ready to be that because it wasn't about beating myself up. It wasn't about anything about, you know, self-destructive ways. It was just about being honest about what character I had become and why I keep going back to food. So every morning I get up and I say the seventh step prayer. God, I'm now willing that you should have all of me, good and bad. I pray that you remove from me every single defect of character that stands in the way of my usefulness to you and my fellows. Grant me strength as I go out from here to do your bidding. And to me, that prayer is so powerful because throughout the day, my character defects still come up. And I need to remember that, you know what, I don't just do it in the morning and forget about it till my 10th step at night. That when these character defects come up, that I right away say, okay, that person fucking cut me off. This is recorded. that person cut me off, and I'm really mad about it. And I'll get, like, you know, like, you know, sometimes I'll flip them the bird. Sometimes I'll, you know, do things that program people maybe shouldn't do, but I do. And then after, I feel guilty, and I feel like crap. And I can either choose to carry that into my day, or I can choose to, at that moment, stop and pray to God and ask him to help me with what just happened. I need to look at where, so as being selfish, I wanted somebody to do what I wanted them to do. I wanted my way. I didn't want him to cut me off. I need to look at where am I being dishonest? I've cut lots of people off. So it's wrong for me to judge somebody else for cutting me off. And I need to look at the self-seeking and fear, you know, and sometimes they aren't all there, but I need to identify which ones within me and not worry about what that other person's doing and give that to God, talk to somebody else about it, and you know what, go be helpful. Get out of that. Get out of that situation and go help someone else. And that's how I keep my character defects at bay, where they don't build and build and build anymore, where I have this, like, you know, crazy guilt and shame that I carry around because I have now steps that teach me that those things don't have to build up, that every day I can get rid of them as they happen. And so that is what I do. So yesterday, I'm from Edmonton, and so it's about 2.5 hour drive. Yesterday, it's about, I don't know, 5 o'clock, I get a phone call from my ex-husband saying, my daughter doesn't have her ringette bag, and she's a ringette player, and tryouts are this weekend. And so right away, I was like, oh my gosh, like, I'm going to have to drive home, and she has to go, and, you know, it was automatic autopilot to those character defects of, you know, I got to be the savior, I got to help here. And so I got off the phone and I felt overwhelmed because I was like, I really wanted to be in that I wanted to see the keynote speaker. And I was like, you know what? And somebody said to me, just go and pray. And so that's what I did. I went and I prayed about it. And I looked at my character defects in that. And part of me always feels like other people cannot do a good job. That's a clear character defect to me, is that, you know what, nobody can do it as good as me. So I need to be there to figure this out. And the answer came. It was like, no, you don't. They're there. You're here. What can you do to help this situation? At the end of the day, I was willing to go to any lengths and take the bag and meet him at Red Deer because my kid deserves to try out. Before, I would have been, you know, oh man, I have to miss this and I have to do this. And, you know, it would have been all about me. But I was willing to do that. But I asked God, I said, you know, help me come up with some answers here. What do I need to do in this situation? And, you know, the answers came quite quickly. I know a lot of people that play ringette. We've been doing it for 7 years. Phone other parents. Ask for help. I don't ask for help because I think my character defects tell me that I can do everything and that I need to be there. And so that's what I did. Before, I would ask for help but then judge myself for asking for help. Yesterday, it was like, hey, I need some help. I know your daughter's not playing this year. Can my daughter play your, like, and it would be that fear of I'm being judged because I'm not a good parent because I wasn't responsible to take it out. We weren't being responsible taking it out of my truck, you know, and leaving it for her. And all the judgment would have came. But yesterday it didn't do that. I didn't need to do that because my higher power helped me through that situation and didn't let my character defects get totally out of proportion. Because that's another character defect of mine, is that I take a little situation about this big and blow it up to huge. And, you know, I know that a lot of other compulsive overeaters do that as well. And so today I don't have to do that because I have, you know, the tools and God to help me. So that's, you know, how I do 6 and 7. And for me, these are life-changing steps. I did not change in this program. I lost weight, but I was still miserable. I was still that dry drunk. And I did not change in this program till I honestly did these steps. You know, these are action steps. The promises don't come till after 9. And so step 8, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Not some, all. And for me, I'm like, oh, I'd like to pick and choose who I do. But at the end of the day, it was like, am I going to get better? Or am I still going to hang on to stuff? So I wanted to get better. So I made my list in step 5. My list was there of who I had harmed, who had fears, who I needed to do things with. And so for me, it was, you know, pretty simple. I wanted to get better. Step 6 and 7 showed me how dysfunctional my life was. And so I became willing and I asked, you know, at first I just said, okay, God, you know what, I'm willing to do these amends. Some of them aren't pretty. Some of them are going to be really uncomfortable. They're not things I wanted to do, but I did want to get better. And I knew to get better, I needed to do this. So I ended up keeping my list, and my sponsor told me, sorry, Brandy, you got to do these face-to-face. You're not writing letters. You're not phoning people. You're not sending emails. You need to try and contact these people face-to-face. And I was like, oh, it's so much easier to just write an email and tell them. And she's like, no, like, this is about being humble and admitting, you know, seeing that person face-to-face. And so that's what I did is I tried to find a lot of people because a lot of my amends are, you know, from my past, and I don't talk to a lot of the people anymore because I've destroyed the relationship. And so a lot of them were finding people. And, you know, I continued to just ask God for the willingness on the ones I didn't want to do. My sponsor, after I did step 7, made me go within the 24 hours and make my first amends. And I'm so grateful that she did that, because I think we can sit on these and we can say, oh, well, I'm not willing. Well, I had to become willing because I wanted her to be my sponsor. And so I was like, hey, I'll do, you know what? If this is what you did to get better, I'm going to do it. So I did it, the first one, within 24 hours. And, you know, it was with my significant other, and it was the most amazing experience that we've probably had in our relationship. And then, you know, I continue to put on my 10th step. So a lot of times we can forget about the amends piece, and, you know, because the people aren't right in front of us. And so as long as I was willing, though, my sponsor said, you know what, God will present these people when it's time. And so every night I do a 10th step, and I actually want to share this with you. I have a 10th step that I do on my cell phone, and it's an app, and it's called My Spiritual Toolkit. And so I go on there every night, and it asks the 10-step questions. So when it says, do I owe an apology? All of those people that I haven't made amends to went on that list. So I did not forget that, you know what, I have some outstanding amends to make. And today I have one that I know for sure. And actually, when I started doing this, you know, my notes on this, I was like, well, you know what? There's another person that I think needs to go on my list. And so when I get home, I'll be working it through a 5th step and, you know, getting her on my list of people. But I have another one to do on Monday, and that's that, you know, that was my last one until this one came up. But the amends piece is, you know, if you're not, like, I always hear, like, well, I'm not willing. Well, then maybe you need to go back to step 4 and 5, because maybe you're not seeing your character defects and your part in things. We need to be really clear on our part. And so that would be my only thing, is that, you know what, I wasn't willing because I was afraid. But I just asked God, you know, to help me with that fear. And this is a spiritual program. And I always thought that maybe I could remove these character defects. I could make willingness to, you know, go through with the amends. But at the end of the day, God's the only one who can do that for me, because I am powerless, you know, over food, and my life is unmanageable. And I do need, you know, the decision I made in step 3 carries on in these steps, because this is where I need to really focus on my faith in God, that, you know what, he's going to do it for me. He's going to carry me through, even though I think I can't do these things. And, you know, he does. And so with that, I think that I'll wrap up, and you guys can share or ask questions if you want to come up to the mic. Thank you. So the question was, what took me from concentrating on a food plan to actually working through the steps? Because I came in program so young, I feel like I wasn't mature enough a lot of the times to handle what was being thrown at me. I came into program because I wanted to lose weight and because I was overweight. At that point in my life wasn't crazy unmanageable, because I was so young. I was still growing as a person and finding out who I was. So I guess my journey along those years is finally, I mean, this is a progressive disease. We don't get better. We get sicker if we don't work the steps. So because I wasn't really a big step person, you know, I worked the tools great. I had friends in a way. The steps I just thought were, like, you know, just byproducts of the program. Little did I know this is the program, and this is how you get recovery. So I was at a place in my life of just, you know, I had been through a divorce. My kids, like, I was totally focused on their stuff, and we were constantly fighting. I was worried about their weight and what they were doing with food. And I just really felt like I was so powerless over life. And food just kept, you know what, like I said, I couldn't string abstinence together. And I would see these people that would be like really consistent. And I was like, how come I can't get that? How come I can't get that consistency in my life? And then I started listening to what those people were doing. I would target them and just listen. Well, they worked the steps. They lived the steps. You know, and so at the end of the day, God brought somebody in my life by fluke. Well, I don't believe by fluke. I was ready at that time. Life was unbearable. I was going to lose my husband-to-be. And to me, he's the most amazing man. And I didn't want that to happen. So he said to me, he's like, you need to do something. And these diets aren't working. Because I would always look for a diet to solve my emotional problems or my feelings, you know. And so at the end of that, I was like, Away is the last house on the block for me. I know it's worked before. Because when I first came in program, I worked the steps. And I did, like, lose a lot of weight. But then life happened and I stopped working the steps. And, of course, the end result is always, you know, relapse. So long story short, I just, you know, I was just in so much pain. This disease had beaten me so bad that I was willing to do whatever it took to have a sane life. And now I'm like, I'm one of those consistent people. Like, I don't go to meetings anymore and cry my head off. And I'm not up here and then happy and then abstinent and then not. You know, I'm just like, I'm riding the road of recovery. And, you know, sometimes there's little bumps and trials and tribulations, but I always have my steps now to fall back on.
Hi, I'm Jody, and I'm a compulsive overeater.
Hi, Jody.
I don't know whether to sit or stand here. Thank you, Brandy, for your sharing. I feel like I'm stalled out on step 8, and so I'm really grateful that there's these meetings to get us, more knowledge and in our recovery. So a lot of what you said made sense, and I think for me, going back to the step 4 and 5, and really taking a look and seeing what my part is in my interactions with people on my list of amends, I don't think it's so much that I'm feeling unwilling. I think it's that I don't know what to say and what my part has been in the hurts that I've caused. And so that's where I'm sitting with it. But I just wanted to come up to sort of say this so that it's actually out there that, okay, I'm working on my step 8 and 9.
My name's Margie. I'm a compulsive overeater.
Hi, Margie.
6 and 7, I used to sort of think that I could kind of casually work on that, and for a while that worked pretty well. I heard one of the nicest things is that, you know, you can work on it a little bit now and then. If when that stops working, you can try it again a different way. But what I heard somebody say was work on whatever's right in front of your face, whatever that character defect is, and you know, just, you know, then let the rest go. You know, take what you like and leave the rest. Kind of work on what's right in front of you, and then some more later. And I kind of did that with, and like I said, it worked well for a while. Whatever was right in front of me and sort of knocking me in the head was whatever I worked on. And I listened a lot to what other people said. One of my favorite stories is this friend of mine, a guy in OA, was talking about how steps 6 and 7 say, you know, asking God to remove our shortcomings. He said, you know, this is what happened to me. I decided that my relationship wasn't going well with my wife, and so I was going to work on it. And so a week later, she wasn't speaking to me. So I had to learn that I need to turn them over to God and let God help me work on them rather than me working on them. And somehow, well, I knew both him and his wife, and it just made so much sense to me that that would happen when he tried to work on it. And so it just was such a good example in my mind of... And there's a series of them along in there. Well, and 4 and 5, 6 and 7, 8 and 9, becoming willing and then doing the action, writing and then talking about it. You know, becoming willing to have God remove all my defects of character and then humbly asking for them to be removed. And then taking the list and making the amends. And that whole stuff. And remembering that it is that kind of a pattern. So I thank you very much.
Thank you. I'm Brandy, compulsive eater. I just wanted to share something else that when Margie was talking that came to mind. For me, I needed to replace those character defects with something. So, you know, when I look at selfish, I needed to be less selfish. So I looked at selflessness. And today I live, that's my natural instinct to go. Where before my natural instinct was to be selfish and self-centered, now it's about how can I serve other people? What do other people need in this situation? You know, and I was always all about me. And now it's more like, and I always thought, like, at first I said to my sponsor, I'm like, this is so hard. Because my natural tendency was to be selfish. And so I would have to catch myself. And now today, my natural tendency is to be of service to others and to look at other people's needs before my own. And then I had to look at, you know, what's the difference between dishonesty is honesty. So I asked to be honest. I asked in my prayers, please help me be honest in situations that come up throughout the day. And for the most part, I am honest. I don't tell white lies anymore. I don't need to embellish stories anymore. Part of me still working on the ripping the Band-Aid off in uncomfortable situations where I feel uncomfortable about what somebody's said or done to me. I'm still working on being able to verbalize that to people. I can do it with safe people, but, you know, if somebody makes a comment that's, you know, offends me, I typically will look at it and go through it with my sponsor and then go back after. I want to learn more how to approach those situations immediately. But sometimes you don't, you know, sometimes you need to work it through too. But if I'm, you know, I mean, what's coming to mind is with men. If men give me inappropriate attention, I'll feel uncomfortable to say, you know what, like you're crossing boundaries here, you know. And I think the more I work on myself, the more I'm able to, one, not put myself in those situations, because those were situations I used to put myself in because I wanted attention. And that was the wrong attention. I don't need that anymore. So yeah, I needed to replace that with honesty. And as far as, you know, inconsiderate, well, I try and be very considerate of others, you know, and guess what? My relationships are amazing today. I have great relationships with my kids, with my spouse, with my employer, you know, with my family. And, you know, the ones that are still struggling, the relationships that are still struggling, every day I'm like, you know what, God, whatever your will is for me in those situations, please show me the next right thing. Show me the next right thing to do. Because I can't control other people. I can only fix me. And so it's funny. None of those other people have changed in my life. It's been me. And our relationships are better, which shows me that, you know, I was a huge contributing factor to all those issues, even though I didn't want to admit it. And I couldn't see it for a long time. So thanks.
My name's Rose, and I'm a grateful recovering compulsive overeater.
Hi, Rose.
For me, steps 6 and 7 are about change, which made sense because I couldn't, if I wanted recovery from being an addict, that meant I had to be a different person than I was. And a food plan just deals with the weight. I mean, that would just make it like all the other diets I had been on before, because that's what always took me back to the food, was my character defects. So it made sense that I had to change. And the most interesting thing is that some of the changes that have come about were ones where I would think, hey, I don't do that anymore. Like a situation would come up and it's like, I reacted differently. And in one very dramatic instance where I really needed a character defect removed in a certain situation, I just said a very quick prayer, help, and I literally felt the character defect being pulled out of my head. Mm-hmm. It was that amazing, because that's what I needed at that point, and God always gives me what I need. Mm-hmm. So it's all about change, and that makes total sense. If I'm to recover from being an addict, it means I have to act differently. It means I have to become a different person than a practicing addict. So thanks.
Thank you, Rose.
With that, and it really made me think about.
Hi, I'm Debbie, and I'm a grateful member of OA.
Hi, Debbie.
And I always have to share on step 7, because it was one of my God moments I had in program. I was running to be vice chair on the Region 1 board, and I was feeling very uncomfortable. And I'd gone for a walk and I was praying about it, and I'm like, what's going on with me? Like, I'm just so afraid. And what it was is I realized I had this defect of just not being deserving, not being good enough, not being able to do the job. I'd created this, you know, everybody at the region board level was all these great and wonderful beings, and I was pawn scum trying to join their team. And So to resolve this anyhow, I came back to my hotel room at the time, and I decided to do a meditation, and God often speaks to me through my meditations in visuals anyhow and messages. So the message that came through as I was trying to resolve this is God said to me, be prepared to be humiliated in every moment of every day, and you will not fail. And it took me a while. I kind of had a shower afterwards, and I was like, I don't really get what that means. But I really got what that meant is when I ended up being the vice chair on the Region 1 board, and then the chair got sick and ended up being the chair by sort of fluke. So 2 weeks later, and I had no idea what to do. And we didn't have a full board either, so not only was I chair, I was vice chair. I was trying to fill in the secretary position. It was crazy times. And I had to lead assembly, and I had no idea about Robert's rules. I didn't even know who Robert was. And I was sick. I had a titanium allergy at the time, but I didn't know that, so I would vomit lots. So leading my assembly, I would lead assembly, and I'd excuse myself. I'd go out the back room, have to throw up, and come back and go back into assembly, plus figure out all these Robert's rules. And I just kept saying that, you know what? If I'm prepared to be humiliated, I'm okay to screw up here and make an ass of myself, and just then I know I'm willing to at least show up, and then I'm doing God's will. And that's when I really started to realize that when I'm uncomfortable, I always go back and I look at what is the defect. Because that's normally how it feels for me. It feels uncomfortable. Something's not right in my life. And it's usually some little defect. And once I really look at it, then I'm usually I'm afraid of something. So I'm getting more into my ego self and not trusting God's self. So thanks.
Thanks, Debbie.
Thanks for your sharing, Brandy.
I'm Raquel, compulsive overeater.
Hi, Raquel.
And hopefully on the road to recovery. But you really shed a lot of light on the topic of shortcomings and doing moral inventory. And boy, this program has really, if it does one thing, it sets you free. And you've got to be free in order to heal, in order to recover. So I was a control freak with my family so badly. And a bossy pants. Everything had to be my way or the highway. And I've been in program 4 years and abstinent for 3. But the beauty of it all is that they've seen the changes, that I'm not engineering their life like, oh, I'll do that. No, this is what you have to do. No, no more. And I feel that the only way I can heal is to continue on that road of finding out other shortcomings I may have, because it will not happen. And I am so grateful for OA. I came in screaming and hollering, not because I wanted to. I wasn't looking to lose weight. But I had been told by my gastroenterologist, you got a fatty liver that's leading to cirrhosis, and it's in your hands. It's all diet related. And I thought I was gonna kill him at that point. Diet! I've been dieting my whole life. And I really had to call on my higher power to find out what was going to help me, not only just to get the weight off, but to keep it off. And I need to keep it off, because if I go back, this person cannot have a relapse. That is not an operative word in my language. Can't, because I will be damaging my liver. Is it really worth it? I had to ask myself. So when I went in, this was in LA, Beverly Hills, it's called the Serenity Prayer. The Serenity Sunday. And heard my story, and I cried for months. And I didn't know there was others like me. Mm-hmm. Thank you for allowing me to share.
Thank you.